In your bulletin is a fairly small print summary of most of our church mission partners. Our church every year calculates what the operating budget is, then takes 10% of that and adds it on to the budget for ministry giving. This is intended to remind you what it is we do with the money, your money. And the concept is that if God calls each one of us as believers to give at least 10% of our living back to Him in gratitude and in support of what God is doing, then we as a church should be modeling the same thing. In all the years I've been involved here, we've never given less than 10%. We've always given more than 10% in a variety of ways. In fact, every Christmas Eve, we have an offering to share between our two local ministry partners, Hope House and a Life Care Center, and it normally brings in several thousand dollars just by itself, and we divide it between them. So I'm going to be leaving. I'm the one who knows most about these things. For better or worse, that's the system. And so I just want to make sure you know what your money is doing and what God is doing through you so that you'll have some kind of emotional investment moving forward with the believers in other parts of the world whose ministries you are participating in. Oh, how'd that get there? So I may have shown, I don't remember, did I show you this picture before? Okay, so these are my three boys. My oldest son, Michael, with the beard, who is the father of Uriah, a six-week? Whatever. He's in there between 1 and 2 months. And my youngest son, Ian, who has never held a baby in his life. So this is an artistic picture. It's a very touching picture. But what you don't know is Ian's going, what do I do next? So Craig Babb is a pastor in the Kansas City area who manages a ministry called Rhythm of Grace. You help support his ministry because he is the chaplain to all of the pastors in your presbytery. The Presbyterian denomination divides its churches regionally up into presbyteries. They're connected with one another. They do ministry with one another, and they meet with one another. Your new pastor is a pastor in a church in our presbytery. Clay Center, Kansas is part of your presbytery, which is one of the reasons that I know him and that we have a good relationship. Craig travels around from Oklahoma up to North Dakota during the course of the year to meet with pastors, to encourage them, to support them, to hear them talk about things that maybe they can't talk about with other people. It's a really significant ministry because pastors can feel isolated, burnout, and a whole variety of other things, and you're helping to support that chaplain ministry. Oh, how'd that get there? So this is me and my wife, Jody, and our daughter, Becca, 2 weeks ago in Switzerland. Does anybody know what that mountain is in the background? The Matterhorn, right. Not just in Disneyland, it's also in Switzerland. And so we're climbing down this path from an observation point, and here's the Matterhorn. This same cloud was there for 3 hours. I don't know if it was glued to it or what, but for 3 hours, that's where it was. Switzerland, if you've never been there, is slightly beautiful. There's almost nowhere you can go that you aren't stunned by how gorgeous it is. This is a typical valley with a town in it. This is what Ottawa should be looking at every morning when we wake up. Wake up and stretch and look out the window and there's the mountains, but no, we get the cornfields. Okay, so this is Southeast Asia, and I don't know if you're aware that Malaysia is actually this and this. So Malaysia is divided between two different islands, and all of this brown is Indonesia. This is a geography lesson. So when you hear Indonesia, you normally think, oh, it's one island. Or Malaysia, oh, it's one island. That's not true. But the important thing is that right there is Taiwan, which is itself an island. And on Magong Island, which is right there off of Taiwan between the continent of China or China and Taiwan, this is where Hank Tillinghast was stationed for 6 months when he was first commissioned as a lieutenant in the Air Force, and he was working radar in an air traffic control unit that was monitoring all of the aircraft transferring troops out of Vietnam. I just thought that was fun. Okay, so who knows what flag, what country this is a flag of? That's right, it's Haiti. So, this is North and South America, and this is the Caribbean, and these are the Caribbean islands, and Cuba. Most people don't know that Cuba is that close to Florida, which is why so many of them swim or sail boats over there. That's how close it is to Mexico, etc. There's an interesting island. Haiti and Dominican Republic both share the same island. It's one of the few places in the world where two countries share one island. And Haiti, of course, is on the left. Haiti is one of the poorest nations in the world, with some of the worst living conditions, education conditions, natural disaster conditions. It's a difficult place to live, and the island keeps continually being bashed by hurricanes and earthquakes and other things. This is a fairly typical housing development in Haiti. You may notice that these three houses don't have roofs. There's a lot more on that hill that don't have roofs. People are really poor there. But this is what the average house looks like in Haiti. It's an independent, falling down structure that they've grabbed anything they can from a dump or a trash lot and thrown it up to build a house. And probably 25% of the population lives under these kind of conditions as well. These are children that are slightly different than your children when they were growing up. They didn't have enough food, they didn't have enough shelter, they didn't have enough anything. This is a slightly different group of children, not just because they have matching uniforms and they're eating whatever they're eating, but this is a school run by a church that you're helping to support. The Keyskaya Chapel is an international church in Port-au-Prince, the capital of Haiti. It's where most missionaries attend. It's where pilots that travel back and forth from the island attend. It's an English-speaking church, but it is the most missions-active church on the island. Craig McElvain, who is also a member of our presbytery, a pastor in the same presbytery that Pastor Drew and I are, is a pastor there, and they have a ministry partnership with STEP. That's from the French and the Second Evangelical Theological Seminary, where if you are a graduating national Haitian pastor and you would like to plant a church, the seminary not only pays free for your education, but for $1,500 a year, you can support the entire ministry of a Haitian national. Now, Pastor Craig, who's going down there, it costs $90,000 for him to be there. But it cost $1,500 for a national to plant a church and to live on the island. So this year you gave $1,500 to the young man there who's not smiling. He is planting a church currently, and you will be paying. And if you continue to do this every year, you will pay for his life and the entire operation of the church for $1,500 a year. Is that a pretty good bang for your buck? This is last year's graduating class, and every single one of these people goes to this church. Interestingly, anybody who is an orphan in Haiti who grows up in an orphanage speaks English. So instead of them going to national churches, they go to the Keyskaya Church and worship in this ministry as well. Anybody know what this is? Flag is what country this is? Yes, what? You're absolutely right. It's Turkey, Turkey is the one country that nobody knows, does it belong in Europe or does it belong in Asia? Because it's partially in Europe and it's partially in Asia. There it is. And part of it is across Istanbul. It's the one city in the world that is on two continents. Istanbul is both in Europe and in Asia. Some of the things that are interesting about Turkey, Turkey is the center for both of Homer's epics. The Iliad, the Trojan War, takes place in Turkey. The Odyssey, Odysseus is a, or Ulysses is a hero from the Trojan War. So Turkey is important to the culture and the history of the ancient world. And you all know about the Trojan horse that the Greeks snuck in and defeated the Trojans. Well, did you know that two of the seven wonders of the ancient world are in Turkey? There's seven of them. I'm sure you could rattle off which ones they are, so I won't tell you. But this is the Temple of Diana, or Artemis, in Ephesus. And both the book of Ephesians and 1st and 2nd Timothy, you need to understand a little bit about the worship cult of Diana in order to understand what Paul and Timothy are dealing with in Ephesus. And this is where the mausoleum of Halicarnassus is located. This is an artist's rendering. This is not a photograph of the ancient temple of Diana. This is what remains of it today. This is an artist's rendering of the mausoleum of Halicarnassus, and this is what remains of it today. Not much to look at. So, anybody know what these are? Coffee beans. By the grace of God, I don't have that addiction. These tulips and these coffee beans were first grown and developed in Turkey, and they introduced them to the rest of the world and to the Netherlands. The Netherlands were not the first people to grow tulips. This Google map shows where Antioch was located. Antioch was the first church outside of Jerusalem, and in fact responsible for the gospel heading out anywhere other than the Holy Land. It's in the very southern part of Turkey. This is the Church of St. Peter. This is a modern front, when I say modern, medieval front, that was put over the church that is basically in a cave. This is the oldest known actual church building in the world. And the gospel would never have come to you if it hadn't started in Antioch. This in the far eastern part of Turkey is Mount Ararat in a mountain range, and you know Mount Ararat because it's where Noah's Ark landed. Excavations were done several decades ago. This is literally a wooden sailing vessel that was uncovered, and it's the dimensions that are in the Bible. That's an amazing find, though many people don't believe it for what it is. This is, I cannot pronounce the city, but this is the oldest human settlement in the world. About 7,000 BC is when they've dated this to. Okay, why am I telling you all of this? Turkey is a very important culture. Adam and Eve probably didn't grow up there, but the bottom line is the church grew up there, the church was sent from there. Some of the oldest history of the church is there, and there are less Christians per capita in Turkey than anywhere else in the world. Any other country in the world, less Christians per capita in Turkey. By the way, did you know that St. Nicholas was actually Turkish? He was born in Turkey, did his ministry in Turkey, and they built this amazing, bizarre church to him in Turkey. Did you know that Istanbul had a whole lot more names than you thought it did? Lygos was the first name for it, and then Byzantium, Augusta, Antonia was its first Roman name, then New Rome, then Constantinople, then Istanbul. Ankara is the capital of Turkey. And you all might remember our friend Andrew Brunson was imprisoned there for 2 years and then released. Okay, these are your missionaries to Turkey, Drew and Sarah and their three children. In order to do ministry in Turkey, there are no church buildings. So what you have to do is you have to meet people on the streets or in other ways, and you have to meet with them in homes. So they have been meeting for 2 years trying to build a national church and train and engage a leadership team to start their own church. They have Bible studies in homes. They meet in public places with Muslim Turks or secular Turks to talk about Jesus. Sarah and another friend do English language courses with women. This is a very popular way to get to know Turkish women, or cooking clubs. They do events with small children. VBS goes everywhere, not just in Ottawa, Kansas. It works in Turkey. And they occasionally have a chance to speak about Jesus in Turkish public schools. This past year, they baptized two new believers, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it's an enormous success story in Turkey. And you're helping to support their ministry in Turkey. Okay, here's a quiz. What is country number 13? India. What is country number 16? Okay, these are the easy ones. Now, what's country number 17? Mongolia. And what is country number 11? Pakistan is close. Afghanistan is correct. Then what is country number 12? Pakistan. And what is number 14? Sri Lanka. And what is number 15? Nepal. Is Tibet on this map? No, because the Chinese subsumed it. It doesn't get its own place on the map anymore. What is country number 19? Bangladesh. And what is country number 21? Thailand. I want to, if I had a prize, I would give it to Mr. Roll. You are really a champ. You are smarter than a fifth grader. I am impressed. So what country is this? Who said that? Way to go. Somebody finally got it, at least that I could hear. Okay, so Pakistan is located right next to India, and you have two national seminaries that you support in Pakistan. Pakistan School Number 1, Pakistan School Number 2. These are country pastors who have no formal training because they can't afford it, because it isn't available in that Muslim country. So believers live either in ghettos attached to larger cities, or they live out in the country. If they're ministering out in the country or in the ghettos, they have no way to get education. So one of your partners, many of you remember Mujahid El-Masih, has started these schools in actually India, Sri Lanka, Pakistan, etc. I'm on the board of the schools, and in Pakistan and other places, at either 2 or 3 in the morning, two nights a week, I teach by video conference to these schools through translation and help to train the pastors. The average pastor that you help to support, get through school, baptizes, guess how many new believers they baptize on an average every year? In 1 year, the average graduate Pakistani pastor baptizes how many Muslim converts to Christianity? 1,000. So here they are baptizing in a lake. They're, oh, by the way, this other picture is, the church is over, let's go baptize the new believers. So they go down to the lake and do it. They go to the canal and do it. They go to the water junction box and do it. Anywhere that there's water, they go baptize people. Now, this is in Dubai. This is one of my trips. Actually, this is my first trip in 2013. I've got the camera. So I had baptized about 10 people, and then I traded places with the other guy. This is the famous city of Dubai on the Persian Gulf. What you can't see is all these Arabs standing there and looking at them. It's against the law to do this. So I said, when we were going down to the water, I said, isn't this against the law? Yes. Oh. I was shamed. Okay, if you're willing to do it, I guess I'm willing to go do it. But the funniest thing about this is all across the beach were these Arab families, the men in Speedo bathing suits and nothing else on except these little tiny Speedos, and the women were in full black burqas standing on the beach. It was just weird. So here's us praying with part of the group afterwards. I recognize the guy with glasses. So here's a typical baptism of which I'm taking these pictures. We're in a water junction box for water coming in from one place to another. The women are lined up to be baptized. They're getting ready to get in, and a guy steps forward. So he goes to the front of the line because all the men have to be baptized first because the water gets dirtier as you get in there. It's just not right, but that's the way it is. So he comes down into the water. They talk for about 10 minutes. So if you've got 10 people, that's 100 minutes to do these baptisms. He gets baptized. He steps out. This lady gets in, gets baptized. This lady gets in, gets baptized. This lady gets in, gets baptized. You get the point. We go through this whole process. And then afterwards, we give them Bibles because they don't own Bibles. They can't afford Bibles. They can't get Bibles. And they view their Bible slightly different than us. We get like 3 or 4 of them and might read them occasionally. They get one, treasure it like it's gold, and read it constantly. This is the graduating baptism class of this one church that I attended while I was there on that Sunday. I think you are aware that there are brick factories in Pakistan, we've talked about this before, where Christian families, perhaps only Christian families, who cannot make a living because of discrimination by Muslims, they sell themselves to the brick factories, and they and their families live in these little hovels with a single light bulb and no furniture. They sleep on the floor, and they make bricks all day long. Make bricks, carry bricks, it doesn't matter how old you are. Little old ladies make bricks, small boys make and carry bricks. It is a messy, difficult, hot task. They get not enough money to actually get out of debt. So they're in debt, which is why they're there. They cannot make enough money making bricks, so some people spend their entire lives indentured in servitude to brick factories. And what some of your dollars do is they buy families out of their debt. So every year, some of the money we give to Faith Covenant International goes towards buying this. And this was one of the families that you bought out of debt. And then you paid the money to help them buy a wagon so that they could actually get around and have a livelihood. This is a young girl whose family was so poor they'd been bought out of debt that they could not afford to pay a dowry to get her married. Because it's not just a financial thing, it's a cultural thing. You can't get married without a dowry. So not only did you help pay a little bit for a dowry for her, but you bought all of this furniture. Can you imagine trying to squeeze all of that into that house? That's the house. It fits. This is what you helped buy. This is what you bought to help her future husband set up business. So he's got this little roadside thing where he buys a few tea bags and some other things, and by selling these things, he's able to start making money. You bought all of this stuff for them, and this is their wedding day. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Anybody remember what flag this is? That's right, it's Sri Lanka. So, Sri Lanka, as you know, is an island off of India, and you can see maybe this little black line there. There used to be this land bridge between the two that you could literally walk across, which is how the tradition says that Buddha actually got there himself. He wasn't just in China. He walked all the way down to Sri Lanka. The most militant Buddhists in the world are in Sri Lanka. They hate Christians, and periodically they go burn churches and destroy Bibles and other things because they made a promise to Buddha that if everybody else fails you, we alone will remain faithful. And the evangelicals are converting Buddhists to Christianity, and they're not happy about it. This is the beautiful countryside of Sri Lanka. These are tea, rows of tea bushes. The best tea in the entire world is grown on the island of Sri Lanka. In fact, in the 1700s and 1800s, the very best of the best tea leaves they would package, take down to the dock, put on a ship, and send directly to England, and nobody in Sri Lanka could drink the tea. They only got the bad tea. These are typical Sri Lankan tea pickers. No, they're not. This is an advertising photo. I just love this because this is what they actually look like. But these are the sweetest, dearest, kindest people. My favorite people I've met anywhere in all of my travels are Sri Lankans. It's just hard to describe how nice and gracious and lovable they are. Did you know that the emerald capital of the world is Sri Lanka? So this is a church that you've been helping to support since we have been a church. This was the house that they tore down all of the walls and left the support beams that they met in for years. And this is the porch that the overflow sits in. Well, they are were the fastest growing evangelical church on the island. So this is the pastor and his family. And we helped them build a new building. So this is me when I was over there placing the cornerstone. I said, this is not a cornerstone. Nothing's going to rest on this. And they said, doesn't matter. Stick it in the ground and shut up. So I did, and I was happy about it. So they cleared out the land. They began construction. I wish I had a picture of the new building. It's amazing that they could get this building, if you see the picture of it, in this lot. But they have a brand new building, and they have an amazing ministry. Unfortunately, as you might remember, on Easter Day this year, the Muslims decided, let's go burn a bunch of churches. This is one of the churches they burned. This is one of the buses carrying Christians that they burned. There's another church that they burned. It was just disastrous. And Christians stopped going to church for a while because they were afraid of what the Muslims might do. And as I told you, what's interesting about it is that other people who weren't Christians said, if this Christianity is so dangerous, let's go check it out. So it's been an amazing gift from God to see what they have done. However, as is often the case in these circumstances, people died. There were 27 of these grave sites across the island to deal with the disaster that just occurred. You are aware, I'm sure, that people are martyred for their faith around the world while we decide whether we're going to come to church or not. I don't want to lay too heavy of a guilt trip on you. I want to lay a reminder on you that there's a completely different world out there than what you experience here in Ottawa, Kansas, in our church. People are discriminated. They can't get jobs. They can't get money. They can't pay for their families. They can't get housing. And some of them suffer and die for their faith. This is a Christmas card from last year from them. They send one every year. I don't always show it to you. But they are very grateful to you as a church that have been involved with them for 10 years in their ministry. And I hope you will always continue to be involved with your Sri Lankan brothers and sisters and their ministries. Just to show you very quickly, this pastor, Anthony, and his church sponsors an evangelistic crusade outdoors every year. They get a bunch of speakers. They have thousands of people who show up in chairs. It goes all day long and all night long. You know how you sometimes feel like church went an hour and 15 minutes? It was too long? Well, 8 hours at least for them. So here's Pastor Anthony preaching. And this is the response. And these are people coming forward to commit their life to Jesus Christ. Praise God that you have a small part to play in this ministry in Sri Lanka. Oh, I gave it away. This is India, by the way. Some of you might remember Clement Kuchipudi came and preached here twice. He is a PhD, from the United States, and he has developed training materials in India, just like in Pakistan, to teach pastors who can't get training otherwise. And he travels all the way around the most populous regions in India, providing the training for local rural pastors so that they can catch up with what they can't, which what we take for granted over here. He has an amazing ministry. India has been very repressive about Christianity because it messes with their caste system. They desperately depend upon Hindu-based caste system to control the country, and Christianity cuts at the very core of a caste system. We are all equal in Jesus Christ. Jesus died for all of us. Nobody's better than anybody else. So they have been increasingly discriminating with the new Hindu prime minister in India, and it's harder and harder to be a Christian in India. There's lots of countries you know about and lots of countries you don't know about, which is a radically different experience than where we are. I don't know why that's there. Oh, yeah. Hey, so here's some of the countries again in review that you are involved in. And now I want to talk to you about Bangladesh. Just to give you a map of where. So listen. You know, this is the United States, it's different. I'm not making apologies for it. It takes a lot of money to do things here. It takes very little money to do things in Asia, and yet some really great things are happening that I don't even know about, that you don't know about, but you're part through your giving of some of these really wonderful things that God's doing. This is a school that you're helping to support. Christians in Bangladesh are some of the most persecuted Christians in the world. It's the 92nd largest country in the world, but it has the 8th largest population in the world. It's the most densely populated country in the world. It's 90% Muslim. It's 8.5% Hindu. It's a few Christians, a few Roman Catholics, a few Muslims. No. Whatever. And it's like 0.1% evangelical Christian. This is a school that your ministry partner, Mujahid El-Masih, on his knees there in the middle, is helping to organize and to sponsor. These are the younger students. These are the older students. So the younger students meet during the day. The older students meet in the afternoon. I want you to notice this girl right here. This is Jenny. Jenny is the most amazing 14-year-old Christian you would ever want to meet. She's got entire books of the Bible memorized. She's sweet. She's beautiful. She's soft-spoken. She will talk to you about Jesus hour after hour. She's making a radical difference in the lives of all the younger kids. They worship her. They think she just walks on water, and they love Jesus because she loves Jesus. She's the most effective part of this ministry. This girl here... Is this girl here? So you see how short she is compared to a 5'11" man? This is a 9-year-old girl, and this is a 16-year-old girl. They have a condition which I understand is not unusual in Bangladesh. I don't know a lot about it, but they are the nicest little, tiny Christian people. Here they are eating lunch. Both groups gathered together for lunch. This past year, the money that you gave to this ministry bought Christian literature for all of the kids so that they can read the gospel and know what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. They're a beautiful people. Now I want to show you this video, but before I show you this video, I want to explain this to you. So I was there on my first trip. This is their prayer in the morning. Then they're going to have some of the kids do a little dance. They learn Christian songs in English, so you have some of the girls dancing. Then Mujahid is walking with his camera to where Jenny lives. Now, the Christians can't really find adequate housing in the city, so they live out in the middle of nowhere. And this family lives on two completely stagnant lakes. They think they've died and gone to heaven because they have some land, because they have some water. When you see the water, you go, I wouldn't be even near that water. So he talks with Jenny a little bit, and then you will hear a little bit about a cemetery they have by their house, and then you hear a little bit about their kitchen. I just want to give you a little feel for them. Okay, so I just wanted to give you a little feel for that. I found out this week that Jenny was murdered by Muslim extremists. This video was taken in 2013. She had just gotten married. Her husband moved to the family house. The four graves that were there were grandparents who had been previously martyred because they were believers, and they buried them on the property. Her parents, she and her husband and her three siblings and a couple of cousins were all killed by Muslim extremists because of the Christian school and because the ministry that she's involved in. It's because of her and her popularity. They're angry because she's a woman and because she's in a leadership position. So here's the verse that I'm thinking of today. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. It's so easy for us to get caught up in, do I have the latest iPhone? When's the last time I got a new video game? How do I look on my Facebook profile? And all the other things we get caught up in. And there's people whose Christian faith cost them their lives. I spent about 6 hours with Jenny when I was there, and I just, you know, I normally don't sleep. I just cried for hours last night. Please, please, don't ever forget that being a Christian is a freedom that we take for granted. It's something that we are far too casual about, and awareness of what's going on around the rest of the world is something that we are woefully and inexcusably ignorant about. Thank you for being supportive of these ministries, either knowing it or not knowing it, and God's been using you in significant ways. Will you please join me in prayer? Father, we're so grateful that while the gospel falls frequently on deaf ears, that there is fertile soil and you're causing seed to grow. in our culture when we are wowed by technology and by things, in places where people have no technology and have very few things, the gospel is exploding. Father, thank you for what you're doing in Haiti and in Turkey and in Pakistan and Sri Lanka and Bangladesh and India, and that we have the unbelievable privilege to be a very small part of it. Thank you for how you're blessing those ministries, Lord, and we ask that you would continue to do so and that we would be mindful of our part in those ministries. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Let me invite the elders to come forward.